Aloha, party people. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 74. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Since 1854, Tandawai Distillers has been producing quality rum from the Philippines. The indisputable history of their Philippine rum is the foundation of which the Tandawai legacy continues today. Tandawai Asian Rum is made with premium varieties of heirloom sugarcane grown in the Visayas region of the tropical island of the Philippines. It is the same Southeast Asian vintage canes that has been cultivated for centuries in the tropical maritime climate and rich Philippine soil, which makes Tandawai Asian Rum distinctly Filipino. Tandawai Rum also has lots of history in the tropical exotic cocktail era when it first began with Don the Beachcomber and his Filipino barmen in the 1930s. There's evidence that these legendary bartenders created some of the first tropical cocktail recipes using Tandawai Rum. For more information, go to TandawaiUSA.com or stop by Tandawai USA's Facebook page. This podcast is also sponsored by the Tonga Hut. Opened in 1958, the Tonga Hut in North Hollywood is LA's oldest continuously run tiki bar. With locations in both North Hollywood and Palm Springs, California, the Tonga Hut serves classic tiki cocktails in a classic tiki setting. Dine in a secret tiki hideaway or learn about rum and rum history at one of their educational seminars. And if you're up to the challenge, take the journey to join the loyal order of drooling bastards. For information on events, Rum Club, and more, go to TongaHut.com or find them on Facebook or Instagram. On this episode, we make a field trip to Tiki Co. Located in Bakersfield, California, Tiki Co. is the creation of Roy and Sonia Scarazzo to fulfill a dream of owning and operating their very own tiki bar. For our session, we are joined by their staff, bar manager Freddie Lewin and drink developers Corey Juarez and Gabby Osdale. We talk about how their bar got started with some funny stories thrown in for good measure. This was a fun episode to record, and I can't emphasize how much this crew made me feel like one of their own. If you ever find yourself in Bakersfield, California, make sure you stop in and give these guys a visit. You won't regret it. As usual, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It's free and it will make it easier for you to follow our adventures. Shares on your social media pages are always appreciated, and if you'd like to support the show, please stop by desertoasisroom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, let's get this party started. Here they are, Roy, Freddie, Corey, and Gabby, the crew of Tiki Co.
Inside the Desert Oasis Room.
Well, thanks for joining the show, you guys.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it.
No, we're really stoked. I was telling you earlier, I think this is like a nice validation for us.
Why do you say that? Because you guys are legit. You know, I mean, you got a bar built by Tiki Diablo, you've got mugs by Tiki Farm, and you're making tiki drinks. I mean, you're part of the community.
I think it's that, like that Bakersfield shame or whatever it is. Like, we don't feel good enough. We're from Bakersfield. We always have to like denigrate ourselves.
Is there that?
Like, yeah.
Because sure. Look, I live in Corona. And I get that being from the Inland Empire. And people say, oh, he's a 909er. That's the land of the dirt people, right? So, I mean, I've been told, oh, the Inland Empire, that's the armpit of California. But then they also say that about Mexicali. They say that about Salton Sea.
And Bakersfield, right?
Yeah. You probably heard that before, too, right? They say the same thing about Modesto and Riverside. And like, yeah.
But don't get us wrong. We're proud. I'm proud of it.
As you should be, right?
Definitely. I like
East
like
Chester.
Is everybody here from Bakersfield, or did people move here from somewhere else?
I was born in Myanmar, Burma, and then I came here a few months later to Bakersfield.
Okay.
71.
Okay.
I was actually born in Germany. My parents were in the army there. And we were in Ohio for about 5 years. And then when I was five, we moved to Bakersfield. So I've been, and then I actually moved away. 13 years ago, mm-hmm. And then have moved back since to do this.
Okay. So for our listeners that don't know, we are at Tiki Co. and we're recording this from the bar at Tiki Co. with our bartending staff. And for the people that have not been here before, these are the people that are going to take care of you when you come up to Bakersfield, the armpit of California. That's a joke because it's Corona, really.
Right? No, I feel like we have some beef. Like I'm like, no, Bakersfield's way.
Right? Yeah, we're gonna wrestle for who's the armpit, right? How apropos would that be? But just so that our listeners get familiar with who's here, let's introduce everybody that's on the microphones today.
I'm Roy Scarazzo. I'm the owner, co-owner of Tiki Co. with my wife, Sonia Gamargo. And to my right is my manager.
Mm-hmm. I'm Freddie Lewin, and I'm the manager, and I bartend here and there. I fill in.
By the way, I have an ex-girlfriend from Burma.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she's a bitch.
No comment.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
And this is,
Corey, Karina, Rancho Wise, and I'm a bartender here, creative person.
And the last time I was here, Corey made all my drinks for me, and they're fabulous. Yeah. She put ice cream in my cocktails. I mean, who does that?
I knew it.
Right?
Still our top
You're supposed to say
drink.
Corey.
Yeah. Corey
does that, right?
And I'm Gabby.
And the one and only Gabby.
Gabby Osdale, yeah. I work here. Humble servant. Tiki
Now, R&D.
So here's something that maybe you guys didn't notice that I noticed right off the bat. We have a Roy, a Freddie, a Corey, and a Gabby. You guys all end in Y.
We also have a Benny, a Bernie.
That's true.
Mikey, really?
A Mikey. Yeah.
It's like every day of the week, every name ends in Y.
I only hire people that have names that end in Y.
Right? So, you know, it is kind of unique to have a tiki bar in Bakersfield. It's not really the place that people think of that's tiki-centric. What was the motivation behind starting Tiki Co?
Bakersfield's oldest tiki bar.
Exactly.
You should put a sign on the door.
It's actually going to be our next t-shirt. It's going to say Tiki Co since 2017, Bakersfield's oldest tiki bar.
Right?
Well, my wife and I both grew up here, and we both ended up in L.A., she's been there for about 20 years. I was there for like the last 13. And her family's all here still. Her sisters, her nieces, nephews. My sister is here. She just had a kid. Well, he's about to be 5. But we're like, you know what?
Time flies. Right?
And also, man, I hate Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we were talking about moving back to Bakersfield. And we both have very LA specific jobs, so we're like, what are we gonna do? And we've been talking about it for a while, but we happened to be at Trader Sam's at Disneyland one day for my birthday, and she'd had a few, and she's like, let's open a tiki bar in Bakersfield.
Let's just do it.
You love this stuff.
Were you guys tiki people before?
Yeah. Well, me more than her.
Okay.
I mean, she was the person that first took me to Tiki T. When I moved to LA, she was like, "Oh, we gotta go to Tiki T. You gotta experience this." And at that point, she had been like a clothing reseller, you know, through college, you know, vintage stuff. So she would get me shirts, you know, Aloha shirts and stuff like that, and then mugs eventually. And that's kind of how I got into that. But she loved Tiki T. She was like, "No, you gotta come. We gotta go here. This is the coolest spot."
And the last time I saw you and Freddie was at Tiki T.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we inducted Bernardo into Tiki T.
Has anyone told him that he looks like Pedro?
Bernardo?
From Napoleon Dynamite.
Bernardo? Yeah, he looks. No, I don't.
You guys have to make a shirt that's with the same font and everything, but it says vote for Bernardo instead of vote for Pedro.
Okay.
Right? How cool would that be? And you got to put it on the wall for sale.
Yeah. I think he would be into that. I think he would really like that. Or I don't know. Would he like that?
He wouldn't care. He'd laugh.
He's not a sensitive guy.
He wouldn't
guy.
Tell you if he didn't. No. So.
he didn't seem like a sensitive guy when he was there.
No.
When you saw him. So, continue.
We had had a few drinks, and the next day, she was like, I think we should really do this. I've always wanted a bar. I've always wanted to own a bar. It's been a long time fantasy of mine.
This is since your first
Cheers.
Bar then?
This is my first since Cheers. Since I was a kid watching Cheers, I've always
Oh, really?
A bar. Oh, yeah. I thought that was the coolest job. And yeah, this is our first kind of business venture.
You know? Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, she and Sonia is the one that, you know, put the business plan together. You know, she did all the groundwork for it. And one day we found ourselves actually looking at spaces, and
yeah,
you know, it was kind of surprising because, you know, when you're drunk, you say a lot of dumb things like,
sure,
tomorrow I'm going to get up and work out, like,
right? You know,
or whatever. Like, that never happens.
You got to say that every day.
Yeah. But yeah,
your yoga pants have never been to yoga. Yeah.
I've got a lot of sweatpants that I've never been sweated in. Right. But yeah, she woke up the next morning and she's like, I think that we should really do this. This is something that could help us transition back into living in Bakersfield. And Bakersfield doesn't have anything like this.
Now, when you actually started bringing in your staff, now, and I'm addressing the staff now, were you guys tiki at all? Did you know anything about tiki bars or have a tiki background?
I was into tiki.
So, Corey.
Yeah. I was into cocktails in general, mm-hmm. but I kind of got into tiki at the same time. Maybe since, like, 2010 or something, I had been to Tiki Tea. And, you know, whenever I went out of town, I was like, okay, where's the tiki bar?
Right.
But I had never worked in a bar.
Oh, okay. So, were you a home bartender?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, what was that like transitioning into bartending in a, like, you know, a real business as opposed to bartending from home?
It was pretty scary at first. I mean,
the fast pace.
It was rough.
The fast pace. Yeah.
Let's be honest.
So, most of our bartenders had no experience.
Gabby might have had a little home bar experience.
Gabby
too.
Had experience.
Yeah, no, way but she was,
we weren't all like just,
it was like 3 months.
We weren't rushing drinks.
Yeah,
bar, yeah. We were making just at taking our time, but then all of a sudden we just got thrown in,
right,
everybody's.
But I feel like we learned pretty fast.
We caught on.
We had a lot of practice. Yeah, we did a lot of parties before this opened, like soft openings.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had good practice.
So what was that learning curve like? Was it kind of painful at first?
It's like when you learn how to swim and then your grandpa just throws you in the deep end.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, I might
pretty
die.
Much it.
Or I have to get to the edge.
Yeah. Because, you know, I've said before, that I've said this in previous episodes and other people that I've talked to, you know, when you open a tiki bar, you subject yourself to a lot of scrutiny, right? People are going to criticize the decor, the music, the drinks, the attire, the way that you guys are dressed. I mean everything, the service. And do you serve food here, or is this just a bar?
Just a bar.
Okay, so and then if it was food, then you add all of that to it too, right? Authenticity and all that kind of stuff. Being in Bakersfield and being the only tiki bar in Bakersfield, I don't know if you got a lot of that, but I know that the community was excited, the tiki community was excited when you guys first opened, and buses were coming up to check you guys out and stuff. Did you feel any pressure with that, or were you just too, like, unknowing that you just did what you did? And
well, I mean, I think for Sony and I, like, you know, we'd been going to Tiki Tea, and eventually the Tonga Hut was a place that we really liked to go to. But, you know, we weren't even super aware of a tiki community.
Right.
Outside of, like, oh, this is where we like to go get drinks once in a while and, like, hang out. We just weren't super aware of it. You know, we didn't even get onto, like, you know, the tiki message board, Tiki Central,
right,
until we started doing this.
Okay.
You know, we just didn't, we kind of put inside of our own heads a lot. Like, we didn't think that it was a...
Maybe you didn't feel that kind of pressure from the community if you didn't know that one existed.
Well,
because, you know, ignorance can be bliss, right?
Well,
I mean, like, if you don't know that you have to impress all of these people, you could just do what you do.
Yeah.
And then if they don't like it, they don't like it, you know?
Right. But I think when we knew... Because I'd met John O.
Yeah.
He doesn't remember me at all, but I met him at Tiki Tea once. I shared a table with him.
Okay.
And he actually reached out. When he reached out to bring the busload of people down here, we freaked out.
Okay.
Because, you know...
I was on that bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we knew him, and we'd bought... and this is before we ever thought about opening a tiki bar, but we had Sven's books.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out he was coming... And we both got real uptight about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, man, like, Sven signs off on something.
Yeah,
this is validation for us, you know.
Like Mystic Pizza guy.
Yeah,
it is. Like if you get his blessing, right, it does make a difference.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's like and by that point we were already well aware of like the tiki community because we'd started going to the marketplaces. It's like we didn't know about like the international tiki marketplace or anything like that. Like we weren't.
Right.
We just weren't really clued into that stuff. But by the time we started planning this, we started going to those. And then that's when we're like, oh, okay, there's a huge community of people that are really super into this.
So I got to be honest, I was one of these guys that when I first walked in here, it's like, okay, let's see what they got, right?
Of course.
Well, right off the bat, you already had some street cred because you had Tiki Diablo, who built the bar, right? So I knew that was going to look good. But, you know, that could also be screwed up if you don't understand the aesthetic, right? And then I see the Witco, right? And then I see like, the Orchids of Hawaii lamps. I assume that those are Orchids of Hawaii, or maybe you got those at Oceanic Arts?
These are all Oceanic Arts, and those are
and those were made by
those are Woody.
Those are Woody. Yeah.
He made those too.
So I was actually pointing at these, but then I'm glad you pointed that out to me. So when you start looking around and you start seeing all that stuff, then I started thinking, oh, okay, they're legit. And then when you started serving your drinks, they were coming out in tiki mugs. And they were mugs from Tiki Farm, who does like mugs for all of these different bars. So I thought, okay, cool. So they're legit.
Yeah. I mean, we wanted to do it right. I think we kind of have this idea that like we didn't want to can I say half-ass?
We're adults. We can talk like
that. But, we didn't want to half-ass anything. And, like, I think being in a bigger field, we probably could have gotten away with half-assing a lot. I mean, we definitely three-quarters assed a lot of things because we didn't have a lot of money.
Sure.
Which is why initially we started doing the build-out ourselves. And then Danny had come by. He had stopped by where we were building this place out, I think, because we were talking about maybe doing a mug with him. And he's like, you guys need some help.
Right, right.
And it was...
He took pity on us.
And really...
Danny did say something about that. He did say, they didn't have a lot of budget, so I did the best that I could, and I hooked them up.
Yeah.
So...
No, and we appreciate it forever. I mean, I think, this place... Sony and I thought we could kind of figure it out and do it on our own, and there was no way. There was no way it was going to look great. Danny came in, and in 2 weeks, basically, transformed this place from half-assed into, fully assed.
Well, at the time when it got built, before Tiki Diablo, we go, this is great. We're excited. Remember, we're oblivious. We were super oblivious. Awesome. This is great. We're okay with this. And then as soon as Tiki Diablo did the whole thing, we're all, we almost screwed up. Yeah, it was janky.
That's funny because, it's sometimes you can be blinded, right, by your own creation and think that like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah.
I don't need to hire somebody.
We didn't know the details.
Now, the name, and I know you've been asked this before, Tiki Co. So you tell the story, because I was under the impression that it was named after a shortcut to Baco, right? Bakersfield, Baco.
No. This is a... So my wife Sonia and I, along with my brother at the time and you, we'd built a list of like 200 potential names.
Really?
And it was all either jokes or riffs or, obscureness. And my wife was like, we probably should have Tiki in the name so people know what they're getting into. And obviously like Tiki T, Tiki No, like those hard consonant, like Tiki Co with a K, like with a K-O. Like, that sounds pretty cool. And then we looked it up, and a co is actually a...
like a farming
tool. It's a farming tool. I want to say...
Is it for taro or something? Or
it's for...
Is it related to the islands?
Yeah, it is. I want to say from New Zealand.
Okay.
It's an indigenous New Zealand...
You know, we have listeners right now that are just...
fact checking.
Oh. Uh-huh. they're on Wikipedia and they're going to comment at the bottom right now and they're going to say, "Look it up, idiots, do you know what co means?"
It's a foot. You know, it's a foot plow.
Okay.
For I want to say like it's an indigenous in New Zealand.
Okay.
But Bakersfield's a huge farming community, so we're like, oh,
so it fits.
This is awesome. Yeah. Tiki Tony actually, we haven't had the funds to make them yet, but Tiki Tony actually drew up a brilliant swizzle that is a foot plow with like a tiki at the top of it.
Oh, very nice.
It's really cool. Someday, Tony. Thanks, right. Man.
Well, he did the window.
Yeah, he did the...
So, I remember when you first opened, it was just a regular window.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's that Tiki Tony thing in there. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Did he come out here and paint that?
No, that's a decal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's vinyl. The idea initially, it looks super plain up there. I know Danny hates this. The idea initially is that we would have like light box, like window light boxes up there that looked out onto the ocean.
Okay.
And that will still happen at some point. But then on the other side of it, we wanted to be able to change that out seasonally so we could do like different graphics and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it'll get there.
Okay. Well, I think it looks cool the way that it is.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
It does look great. We got a lot of people. I've noticed at graduation time, we got a lot of kids like taking their graduation photos in front of
them
for some reason. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. I'd hate to see it get changed out, to be quite honest with you. I mean, like Tiki Tony is one of the guys in the community. He's very popular and people.
Oh, no. If we do something else, like, he'll ask him to do it. Yeah.
All right. I got you.
But yeah, we would like to be able to change it out more seasonally and like do different things in that window space. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk about the drinks. Because I had a drink that Corey made that had ice cream in it. So obviously, there's a process to how you guys come up with this. Because who thought of that? And what is the process that you guys, and I'm not sure here who's developed the drink developer.
Corey is.
Corey.
Although
Gabby,
Corey and Gabby. And
that particular drink predates Corey, though. That predates anybody being hired here. When we're kicking the idea around, my best... buddy, shout out to Bo Mingus. What's up, partner? Hope you're listening. He's like, you know what you guys should do? So we have a local ice cream company called La Rosa.
Right.
And he was like, you know what you should do is you should get a La Rosa bar and just throw it in a blender with some rum. He's like, that's probably going to be a pretty good drink. And so he and I sat up until like 3 a.m. just like drinking those one night. And so, Corey and Gabby... definitely refined it. It's not just rum and
right, a Rosa bar.
Oh, wait, I thought we refined it.
You and I
were downstairs.
Okay. You and I refined it.
Yeah, let's. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I didn't have anything.
Yeah, we refined that one. We were downstairs because that bar was operating at the time. We have a downstairs bar, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but.
Well.
In the future.
We're going to get
to
that.
We'll talk about. And then, so we just kind of. Bo and Roy, you had your ingredients, and so we tried it, and we're all, I could use this, and we just tweaked it a little bit.
Yeah.
It took a little bit, and we're done.
But we wanted something like with a cool, like kind of a local thing.
Yeah.
And then we got the parrot mug, and the rest is history. That's still our best selling drink.
Here's how I see that drink. So, you know, on Pinterest, you see somebody that's made a cake that's got like a Kit Kat wall around the outside, right? And then it's got other things on top that maybe. So what I'm getting at is that it's already bad enough when you have a slice of cake, all the carbs, all the sugar, all the fat. Well, let's add a Kit Kat bar to that, and let's add, you know, whatever else is on top, right? So now we're already drinking alcohol. We've already got syrup, and we've already got all this other stuff in this glass. Let's throw an ice cream bar in there, too. Let's really make this a heart attack in a glass.
That also has the most, outside of, like, the shared drinks, so it's got the most booze and...
Oh, does it really?
Uh-huh. By volume, yeah.
By volume,
ounces
yeah.
of rum.
Yeah.
Now, is that just to balance it out because of that ice cream bar?
Because it's not like a sickeningly sweet drink.
No, it's not.
No, I don't remember it being... I mean, it was one of the sweeter drinks, but I don't remember it being one of these drinks that feels like it or tastes like it's got a whole ice cream bar in it.
Kind of a milkshake. Adult milkshake.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Well, it's like we knew we wanted to have... I take the drinks here super seriously. I take the cocktails very seriously. But we also know, like, we need 100% crowd pleaser. Something that, like, you know, anybody can enjoy.
Something that's different.
Yeah.
Right? That's memorable, that people can kind of say, hell yeah, did you know they have a drink with a whole ice cream bar in it?
And the idea that like La Rosa, you know, I think people connect with that. Mm-hmm. And we order enough of them that La Rosa actually makes them without the sticks for us now. Because initially we had to cut them off the sticks to throw them in the drink. Yeah,
yeah. Finding out, like, when you make two of them, it's really easy to cut the ice cream off the stick. But when we started making 70, like, back to back, it was like, what are we doing? Oh my gosh, how do we get this off?
Is it kind of a hassle, though, to... I mean, I assume you put it in a blender or something, right? Mm-hmm. To soften it up.
Yeah.
Is it kind of a hassle?
It was in the beginning.
Just trying to get it off the wooden sticks.
Oh, the sticks was a hassle.
Yeah.
It was just getting the stick out was the hardest part.
Yeah, she makes them with no stick, and it's just, you know, we were going to take
it. But I mean, are they soft enough that you can just throw them in the blender and they whip right up? Or because it sounds like it would be a pain in the butt.
In the beginning, it was tough, but we got it down to a science. We just knew the exact right scoops of ice, and we just had it down. And it's just as quick as making a Mai Tai or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. So what about the other drinks? What's the process for developing the cocktails that you guys have here? I know that you have some of the classics on the menu, but you also have your own drinks.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Corey she helped develop the original menu from top to bottom. You know, as far as like adapting some of the classics and coming up with, you know, our original drinks as well.
Mm-hmm. When originally Roy told me about thinking of opening the bar, I was like, yes. Because I wanted to go there and drink there.
Oh, you just wanted to drink
here,
right?
Yeah, exactly. I need a good bar to go to.
Can I tell one quick story?
Sure.
Okay, so I knew her husband.
Okay.
Like, not super close friends, but I've known Omar for a little while, so I knew you through him. Mm-hmm. And Omar DJed at a party at my house one night, and you were there. And you took the whatever meager crap I had behind my home bar and, like, started whipping up drinks. And I was like, oh... So when this seed got planted, I'm like, I need to call Corey. She's the one that will help us bring this all together, you know? Sorry.
Well, we went to her house, and she was...
Oh, yeah.
She was like, we had a session. We had to take an Uber, yeah. But we went to her house, and she goes, this is this drink. This is a before pre-menu, so she goes, try this. And we liked every drink, of course, but by the time it kind of...
So that was before the
These are already your own home drinks. Kind of on the fly making stuff?
So he wanted a mix of classics, so I kind of, you know, tweaked those a little bit. And then also coming up with the original drinks, which I was really bad at first because I never really made up my own drinks. So I threw a lot of stuff down the drain.
One of my favorite drinks in the bar and one of the favorite drinks of cocktail people, like people that kind of know what they're looking for, is the Ala Playa, which is our mezcal drink.
And
that's 100% a Corey invention.
Yeah, people.
Yeah,
I had that.
Yeah, people from LA like.
That's an awesome
drinkers
drink.
All over.
So that one's mezcal, I had that. Pineapple, passion fruit, and lime, and then bitters on top.
So who do I have to talk to about getting a Desert Oasis drink on the menu?
There.
Is it Roy? Corey?
These two. Gabby?
I actually have a drink with no name for a special next week.
So here's the thing, because we've got Tandawai on the bar, so I'd like to work that into the drink. Can we do something like that?
We actually need our drink special of the week, so we could probably work on it here.
Well, here's the thing, though.
We should do that. Let's do that.
We don't carry Tandawai. Yes.
Well, we can change that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's going to have to be the special.
I have a connection. I know a guy. I know a guy that can help you with getting Tandawai in the bar. So, so if we get Tandawai in the bar, let's put a Desert Oasis drink on the menu, and I'll hype that. I'll hype the shit out of that motherfucker, man. It'll be all over my social media.
Let's do it, man.
There we go. You heard it here first, folks.
When we first opened, we were doing
a special a day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We would have a special.
Were unique drinks, or did you just like?
Mix.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, we would look something up on the Beach Bum Berry app and be like, "All right, let's try this week or today," and we whittled it down to three specials a week, and now we're just kind of doing one. But that is like. That one of my favorite things.
One a week.
Yeah, we're doing one a week
now. Have you found if there's a drink that the locals like the most? Do you have a favorite on the menu that's ordered most of the time?
Yeah, well, the Bo Rosa Bar is probably our top-selling drink, and it switches places. This week we had the Painkiller. Our Painkiller was number one.
Okay.
And Bo Rosa Bar was number two. And then the weekly special... one of the weekly specials, we did a special for one of our employees' birthdays called the Lana Banana, and that was the number three seller this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cocktail you're drinking was a special 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, about.
And it was We sold more of those than we sell of anything.
It's pretty cool. So let me describe this drink. So it's served in a snifter with a big bushel of mint, and it's got a little
50 milliliter.
Yeah, 50 mil. So this has got a 50 mil. What do we have here? It's an Eldorado, Eldorado 12. But we also have the 50 mils in the Tandawai. If you guys want to. Expense. Again, talking about Tandoi. I got to pimp my brand.
No, right? That's right.
Tandoi is good to me, so I want to make sure that I'm good to them. But they also have these 50 mils that you can keep doing that if you want to keep doing that.
Well, we were just talking about that because that's going to run out soon. And
Yeah. So we can get some of those to you. But, yeah, this is pretty cool because, and this is a great drink. It tastes really good. But you know, it photographs really well because it's unique, right? The only other time I've seen something like this is when. Is it like a margarita where they put the Corona in it?
Yeah.
What do they call that again?
A little bottle of Grand Marnier sometimes they'll put on the side.
Okay.
Like as the floater, in a can.
Okay. Yeah, because that I don't see in tiki bars. I see those more in like Mexican, Caribbean themed bars.
Mm-hmm. Or party bars.
Yeah, like Papas and Beer or something like that, right? I saw it in Mexico is where I last saw it.
You know what? I totally ripped that off of... I want to say Lost Lake in Chicago. I saw them. I went back to try to find it. It might have been then. It might have been Three Dots and a Dash. And I saw that. I was like, oh, man, that's brilliant. Because now when we think about specials, and we think about drinks, we're definitely thinking about, like, what's going to Instagram well. Like, what people are going to man, I got to be in there and try that this week.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I want to take a quick break because I want to refresh my drink.
We all do.
And I think we all do, right? So why don't we take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more.
Awesome.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Horror in Clay. Collectors of horror-themed art with a tropical twist will already be familiar with the artistic work and madcap visions of Jonathan M. Chaffin of Horror in Clay, maker of fine horror-themed tiki mugs, art, and ephemera. Their creatively conceived and expertly executed themed offerings inspired by horror literature and pop culture can be purchased individually or in matched sets, including such items as mugs, maps, cards, T-shirts, and more. Check out their website, horrorinclay.com, for more information or follow them on Instagram at horrorinclay.
And we are back. Alrighty, I got me a new drink. I'm drinking a Marianne. So, now that we're back, I thought it would be fun to talk about maybe some of the funny things that have happened in here, some of the weird things that you've seen. Who works here on the weekends?
Oh, that's me.
Okay, Gabby.
The Friday and Saturday.
That's probably the time when it gets the most rowdy in here, right?
It does get pretty rowdy in here on the weekends. Yeah, we get some real characters. We get, like, a lot of times, you have to keep an eye on the stairwell. Like, we've had a couple random people.
On
like,
the stairwell?
I know. We've had a few.
You can see it right here.
It's not open to the public, but we've had people, like, mysteriously wander down there drunk and not be able to find their way back up and...
Yeah.
Push them out of the bottom.
Are they looking for a way out or something? Is that
they probably don't even know themselves.
I think they just think there's like, there's something
down there.
No, they also know that's our future bar, and they're just like little kids, and they just want to test us.
Oh.
And they just look at, oh, that's future dancer. He goes, oh, and then we already warn them a lot of times, right? You cannot go down there, so they're all, I'm going to go.
Right.
And they'll
just
shoot down there. We usually catch them, but it's once in a blue moon.
You know, when you tell somebody they can't do something... They're going to want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, why can't I go down there? You ever caught anybody having sex down there?
I hope not.
Oh, God.
If you guys have, don't tell me about it.
I'll just say there's something to be said about having a single stall bathroom in a bar. It's like, okay, I know you're not doing
I've seen people go into the bathrooms in pairs before in other bars.
Yeah.
And they do it in this tiny one-person bathroom.
There's plenty of room in there, dude. I mean, like, if you're a part of the Mile High Club, then you, if you can work in one of those... There's plenty of room in here, man.
Yeah.
You can do like two or three couples in this bathroom.
That's actually our men who leave us Yelp reviews. That's like the compliment we always get is I've never felt more comfortable in a public bathroom than at Tiki Co.
So
like,
clean.
Well, you know what?
So
I was going to say, before we started, I used the restroom, right? Because I don't know how long we're going to record. So I thought, okay, use the restroom first. And my first thought was, wow, I almost don't want to use this restroom. It is so clean.
I don't want to sully this clean bathroom.
It's like, yeah. Well, I'm like, I'm going to wreck it. Too. I'm going to wreck it.
We have all the employees go to downstairs to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And then when the janitor comes in, it's so nice. It smells good. And we're all, we're going to go downstairs. I go downstairs and go to the bathroom.
Because you don't want
to
wreck it.
Yeah, I don't want to wreck it.
This, it still had the Ajax cloud in the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
So you just kind of leave it.
Who wants to be the one that flushes that?
I know.
I was thinking like, all right, here we go.
Well, I mean, I've sat here in the back booth here several Saturday nights and just yelled at people like going into the bathroom in Paris. Like, I know what you guys are doing. I'm
unsavory.
On an 8. Get out of here. That's gross.
Right.
Either that or cocaine.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So see, it has happened here then.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know about downstairs.
No, not yet.
Well,
Gabby found, somebody left was it you that found a little a little matchbook gift that somebody left us in there?
That's happened more than once. I don't even know if we, can we even talk about that?
Let's talk
about
it. No,
probably not. It's not a good thing.
I mean, you can edit it out, right?
It's illicit activities. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it bums me out. It's like, man, this isn't that kind of bar. Like,
yeah.
Take the drugs elsewhere.
Well, so maybe it's not that kind of bar, but we're talking about Bakersfield, right? Weren't we talking about, isn't it the armpit of, what were we saying?
I thought that was Corona.
Oh, yeah, it was Corona. Yeah, you're right. Now, did you know, so our next door neighbor is Riverside. They were supposed to film Breaking Bad in Riverside because it's a whole meth lab thing. That's a big joke about the Inland Empire, that there's meth labs all over the place and the house next door could blow up at any minute.
And that's Bakersfield,
kind of a joke
too.
Here too.
Bakersfield and then the surrounding cities around Bakersfield, yeah.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But Bakersfield's also really awesome. Like, I know we're kind of making jokes and stuff, but it's a really cool town, and I think...
You know what? Yeah. We can all make jokes about our own towns. Yeah. Everybody knows, like, where the slums are, and everybody knows where all the, you know, where all the riffraff hang out.
We're proud of being part of, like, this, like, downtown revolution to attract, like, artist types to Bakersfield and new things that we haven't had before.
What's the go-to spot for people that are coming to Bakersfield?
Besides,
right?
Besides this area, definitely, because the antique stores and the dive bars here are great.
People that love tiki, they'll love coming here because there's a lot of cool antique stores.
Mm-hmm.
You can say like unfettered,
the Padre Hotel. Mm-hmm. It's like an old school, really
historic
cool
Padre
hotel, but now it's like kind of boutique.
Yeah.
If you like country music, like old country and western,
this is Nashville West. Yeah, is what they call it. Buck Owens and that whole thing.
And Merle Haggard.
There's the Crystal Palace you can visit and see a show.
Far from here, yeah.
Did Hill Hauser ever do an episode out here?
He did multiple.
Okay. Yeah. So what did he highlight when he was out here?
One of the other really cool things is like we have a large Basque population. We have a lot of restaurants.
Wool growers. He went to Wool Growers, right?
Wool Growers.
I went to Wool Growers the last time I was out here.
So our favorite is Noriega's.
Yeah.
I went there too.
Okay.
For that that pecan punch.
Pecan
punch.
Oh
my goodness.
Oh God, that was horrid.
Yeah. No.
You guys like
it?
I love it.
I love it.
Do you guys make that? Do you make it here?
We used to make
we can make
a
it here.
Pecan punch. Yeah.
Is it an acquired taste?
It is acquired.
It's a little bitter.
So they gave us the mix. They gave us a bottle to take home.
Wow.
Because, you know, we didn't want them to feel bad. We're like, oh, this is great. We drove all the way up here. Oh, well, and then she gave us a bottle,
that's
right?
Cool they did that.
That was nice of them. She's like, oh, here, so this is how you make it. She showed us how to make it, right?
Yeah.
We'll send this home with you. And so shout out to them. That was cool of them to do that. But then we got in the car, and I was like, I don't think I could have another one of those. And no one wanted
they're
the bottle.
Strong.
Yeah,
they're a little bitter in spirit for it. It can be kind of like a pecan punch in the face.
Right.
we did one originally on the first menu called a tecan punch. Corey came up with it. So, you know, like in the Basque places, they do like an Amaro, soda water, grenadine, and then they float like brandy.
Spanish brandy.
But we floated dark Jamaican rum instead, and it was really good.
It was
but
good.
It wasn't
people
as
expected,
well received. Yeah.
People expected a punch. Like fruit punch.
Right.
So it was not like, whoa.
Yeah, because of the name. Right.
Well, that's a hard thing to do too here is like, even if we do like, oh, planter's punch, people think like
Hawaiian punch.
Hawaiian punch.
Jungle juice.
Jungle juice.
That's been the most interesting challenge, I think, about like starting Tiki Co. is, so we talk about being the only tiki bar or bringing tiki here, but craft cocktails in general are not like very like understood or accepted or embraced, I should say, like in Bakersfield. So
it's not
to bring
part of the
crafted
culture of the city, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I mean, like,
educating
we were just talking about man, what was the story with cranberry juice?
Oh,
we were just talking about this last night.
Somebody asked for a vodka. This was a funny story. So somebody asked me for a vodka Red Bull, and I just tried to, you know, give them my spiel and explain to them that we don't carry energy drinks, but we try to do fresh juices. I also have other, you know, classic mixers like soda, tonic, and then I mentioned cranberry juice, and he just looked me square in the eye and said, "So you mean to tell me you have someone come in and squeeze each individual cranberry every single day?" And I just looked at him and I said, "Touche, but also go screw yourself." I told him I stomp it with my feet like wine grapes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I have a buddy who owns a winery up in Napa, and I asked him, "Hey, you know, I want to come up here with my wife for the weekend and do a tour of the winery, and maybe you can set something up so that we can stomp some grapes. Could we do that? You know, I've known this guy for a long time." And he kind of giggled and he's like, "Well, you know, that's all automated now. But I could set up a photo op for you if that's what you want." You know, it was the nicest way of saying, "You idiot." They haven't done that since Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's my favorite episode of I Love Lucy. Yeah.
Right? So, yeah that's hilarious. And then cranberries. I mean, like, I never even pictured anybody ever doing that. I've always thought that was animated.
They're in a lake or what are they?
Like they actually flood. They actually flood the fields where they grow them, and they just scoop them off the top.
Yeah.
Oh, so that commercial where they're like waist deep.
That's how it's done.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And like, but like, it doesn't naturally occur. Like they actually have to flood. I don't know why I know this. I don't know what I'm talking about this. But yeah, they actually have to flood the cranberry fields.
Right, and they just scoop it off.
Do they do any of that out here in Bakersfield? Because it's a farming community.
I don't think we grow cranberries.
No.
Out here.
I think cranberries
more citrus, almonds.
That's ocean spray, but bad.
Cotton.
Cotton.
I saw the cotton
dairy
coming up, and there were other crops that looked like they were being set up. So I assume that they change them all the time, right? Those fields, like when something goes out of season, they plant something else.
Yeah.
Right.
I used to work for an organic farmer, and he rotated stuff.
Yeah, it's like so perfectly uniform. No matter what angle you look at when you're driving up the freeway, you can see like the rows this way, or if you turn this way, you could see the rows this way, right?
Beautiful.
I actually thought, how are they doing that? Are they laying out string and then they're making a grid and they're measuring? And
I actually
that
think that's how they do it.
Yeah, so that's, you know, just the things that you think about when you're driving through the armpit of California.
Hey, we're the breadbasket of California,
we
man.
We produce enough food for, what do they say, like, enough. Technically, for like the country or something, we produce a lot here. Yeah.
But it's still like it's funny because like doing this now, it's like kind of a pain in the ass to get like great produce.
Right.
You know, yeah. we still struggle to find like really good produce here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they think a lot of it gets shipped.
Yeah.
You know, but
it seems though like the kind of town where there would be a lot of roadside vendors.
There's not. I was just going to say that. Like, going up in, like, Northern California, more like Oakdale, Modesto area, I was just up there, and there were so many of these fruit stands, and I bought all this, like, beautiful fruit, and I just thought, why does Bakersfield not have this? We
love
so much, but...
Yeah, we do have farmers markets, but I feel like even some of those, like, come from out of town.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah.
When I was driving up to Northern Cal, this was a couple years ago, I wasn't paying attention, and I ended up staying on where I'm supposed to actually take the 5 over the 99, and I ended up staying on the 99, and then before I knew it, I was in Bakersfield, and I thought, oh shit, how did this happen? And then so I got off the freeway and I cut across over to get back on the 5, and I drove through a bunch of, you know, like crop,
grapes,
like farming land, right?
Grapes and citrus,
and I don't remember seeing any roadside stands, which I thought was weird because where I live, the area around where my house is, it used to all be dairy farms, but there's also strawberry fields and there's chicken farms and slaughterhouses.
Yeah, there's a big, what's the pork one out there?
There's two of them. I can't remember the name, but yeah, you can get a whole pig if you want to do like a Hawaiian roast.
Yeah.
Right. And it gets crowded on the weekends. And then even when I'm just driving home from whatever I'm doing, There's strawberry stands on the side of the road, and I stop at the chicken farm all the time to get my eggs because they're such a great deal. You know, they're cheaper and they're a little bit bigger than the grocery stores. If you can get them from the grocery store, you can tell that they're smaller, that they, you know, I don't know what the deal is with that. I was going to say that they pull them sooner, but I mean,
they're preemie eggs. Yeah. Like, they came out a little early.
I don't know what makes them smaller at the Albertsons, but if I go to the chicken farm, they're bigger. You know? And then they have the brown eggs, and some of them, they actually separate they'll give you a tray that is designated as the double yolks. So when you crack the egg open and you drop it into a pan, there's two yolks inside that egg.
How do they what? Know
I want that.
I don't know how they know that.
I don't know how. I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
Maybe we could Google it.
Somebody Google this. All right.
Am I looking at a light? I don't know. I'm not sure.
No, it's just like a woman who has twins. It's a chicken lays a double yolk, like two eggs, two yolks. It's like a...
Check out the big brain on Tim.
I thought he was waving bye to us. He was like, I know.
I know the answer. Teacher. Right here.
Do you guys have mostly regulars here? Or is your clientele mostly different faces?
It's split. I mean, our whole idea was like kind of having a place for slightly older people to drink.
Okay.
I
mean, you're saying like a more sophisticated clientele, less of the younger college guy.
Right. And like more of like people my
more
age.
More of like the working. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't
know. We have a pretty good mix.
But we do have a good
everybody.
Mix.
Everybody. Yeah. We're still getting tons of new people who are just curious and have never heard of us still, like all the time.
Yeah.
There's new people, but.
Yeah, also, we definitely have our dedicated regulars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome regulars.
We do have awesome regulars. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, we have a couple that comes in here that I jokingly like tell people, like, hey, lady, he's putting my kids through college. They came in on Saturday, and they're here for like...
Right. He's putting your hours. Cat through college.
He's putting my cat through college.
Right.
He's here for... They're here 4 to 6 hours. Literally, like, the nicest people in the world. Tip the crap out of our bartenders. And... like drinking and like cool drinks and like, I don't know. We have a lot of great regulars.
I'm impressed by some of our regulars' constitutions.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have a drink named after him. So.
And he also has
his own
drink.
Cool is that?
Yeah.
Well, so, he earned it.
Well, we were doing I saw somebody down south was doing a $25 Mai Tai.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, what constitutes a $25 Mai Tai?
Well, we can. I know who you're talking about. I know which bar you're talking about. I think I do.
It wasn't a tiki bar.
Okay, well,
no, it was like
we'll talk about that off the air because like I have an opinion. I have an opinion about that too. But
well, I mean the Mai Tai we serve is like jokingly the $100 Mai Tai. Like if you bought all the ingredients, it's $100.
Mm-hmm.
But like we saw this and I was like, I realized that we had the rum. They kind of use this special rum in it. But I was like, oh, we have all this stuff. I'm like, let's make $100 Mai Tai, or the $25 Mai Tai, and we gave it to this customer, Mike, and he loved it, and he started ordering it.
So oh, shit.
He would come in and order, like, a $25 Mai Tai, like, and have, like, two of them, and then, like, if somebody was curious about it, he'd buy them one. So we put it on the menu, and we called the Mike Tai.
Oh, there you go. Is it $25?
It's $25.
Oh, there you go.
So we have three levels to our Mai Tai, the house, the classic, and the Mike Tai.
Now, do you guys do a Hawaiian Mai Tai?
We used to. We started off, we're calling it an
Island Mai Tai.
Does your clientele expect that when they order a Mai Tai? Are they a little more educated now?
We thought they really would. That's why we added it to the menu.
Right.
But most people were going for the classic Mai Tai. They were loving it. But.
Yeah. We have a great...
Awesome.
We have an awesome, awesome Chinese restaurant around the corner called Billy's.
Mm-hmm. They've Bakersfield been here since, staple.
Yeah, like yeah. 1934.
Total Bakersfield staple.
They've been here forever.
That's the bamboo...
Chopsticks, yeah.
Yeah. I ate there the last time I was here, too. Yeah.
We love that place. And they will make you an Island Mai Tai.
Well, they make blended. Their blended
they will do it
Mai
the best.
Yeah. They put it
super
in...
strong.
They put it in a mug.
In a bucket, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a couple of, like...
Older ones, yeah.
They used to label them. They used to actually have their logo on them.
Okay.
We have a couple of them up here at the bar.
It's like, one of those, you are buzzed. Two of those, you are taking a cab home. Three of those,
you're guaranteed you're blacking out. You're going to black out, and we've done 4 or 5 of those.
I had at least one, maybe two, during lunch before I came here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I had a drink with ice cream in it when I came here.
Oh, this last time you came here. Right? I was like, I seem drunk right now, but...
You know, no, not today. The last time I came here. I ate across the street at the Woolworth.
Nice. So.
Billy's.
But Billy's is, how was I going with this? Oh, I think that most people in Bakersfield associate a Mai Tai with that. Blended red. Freddie and I went in there one night, and she poured half of a bottle of rum into two Mai Tais.
Oh, I've
you
yeah,
gotta
seen
be
that.
Kidding
no.
me!
No joke.
No joke.
It's like a 20 count. I mean, it's
wow.
She had
wait
like
a second.
Yeah, it's like
how does that
it, yeah.
all that rum fit?
You tell me.
In two mugs. It was magic. It was like clowns walking out of a VW.
Yeah.
Right? That's how they fit all that rum in those two drinks.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know, like, probably a liter bottle, and it
a liter
was like
cola?
A liter cola. And it was like, it was hot. Like, she dumped so much rum into that.
Yeah. There's
now, did she do that because she knew you guys?
No. This was
that's a standard.
That's just how they do it. Okay.
Billy's Mai Tais and Mexicali Margaritas. Yeah. Oh, you just had the Cadillac over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we did start out with an island Mai Tai like that, and like, we just took it off the menu because like, people wanted a classic Mai Tai.
They want a real Mai Tai.
Yeah, they want a real.
You know,
Mai Tai.
It's interesting is that when this whole tiki thing started to take off, there were still people who was they were expecting more of the island Mai Tai than the classic Mai Tai. But that's flipped.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
More people expect that classic Mai Tai, because back in the day, I remember people would they'd say, "This is not a Mai Tai. There's no pineapple juice or grenadine. And what is this?"
Oh, that happened to us pretty recently, where somebody was like,
"Yeah,
no, I want a classic Mai Tai."
Yeah, exactly.
That was Benny. That was Benny.
One of our bartenders got, you know, he was this kid was like, very
exactly
unhappy with
the
drink.
Original Trader Vic's recipe. Yeah. He was like, "No, you know, like, just with the pineapple and the grenadine."
Right.
So when that happens, just say, "Okay, take a big sip, fill it up with pineapple."
Yeah.
Improvise.
Keep them happy.
Yeah, some red food coloring or whatever.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Ground Zero for tropical drinks.
What would you say is the biggest thing you guys have learned since you've opened?
The liver is a very important organ.
Right?
Take better care of it. No.
Pick and choose your battles. We've had a lot of, you know, we just knew in the beginning it was...
Because all you guys
so
were just...
crazy. We're being so crazy about everything.
Right.
Just super anal, like, we're just like... And now we're just like, okay, we don't need to mess with it. We're more relaxed now.
Yeah.
Well, your customer service like outweighs like we just were so eager to please. I think we just wanted to do a really good job when we opened and make sure that everybody had fun and like received us well and like enjoyed being here and like just making sure that we take care of our customers and have like a personal relationship with as many customers as we can, and like that's kind of what we go for. And I think, you know, you get a lot of forgiveness from your customers.
Customer service is everything. Yeah.
Well, like right versus like. We were just bending over backwards when we opened up to like, oh, I'm sorry, you want this? Want this? And now we're just like a little more like focused on like being as personable and as friendly as possible, but at the same time like
not letting take advantage of
us. Not letting people take advantage of us.
And they were
people were like, "Oh, I don't like this.
Can I get another one?
Can I get another
one?
Oh,
really?
Yeah, stuff like that.
In the beginning we were doing that, but then we're all not getting it.
Light ice does not mean more alcohol.
That's a huge lesson.
We just talked about that. That's the funniest part, though. So when we serve them a 661 daiquiri, so you talk about Mai Tais being like misunderstood. Yes. So daiquiris, when people think of a daiquiri, they think they're getting some like yardstick blended.
It's just rum, lime, and sugar.
Yeah, and they don't know that. So now we have to put a caveat on that when they order it. Okay, do you know it comes like this? Do you know it's served like this? They get
right.
So that's kind of funny. You said people say light ice because they want like more alcohol, but then we serve them a daiquiri and they're like, "What is this?" And we're like, "It's no ice. This is the least amount of ice you could have. Like, just drink it." You know?
Oh, and that's the other thing. A lot of guys don't like to drink out of the coupe glasses.
Yeah. Really?
So I always tell them, you know, it takes someone really secure in their sexuality to drink from
exactly.
That glass.
You know, when I was in my 20s, people would they try to like say, "Oh, you're drinking a, you know, something with an umbrella in it." And I used to say to them, and they would never buy it, I'd say to them, there's more booze in this drink than your beer. There's probably like three times more booze in this drink than your beer. You're not more manly than me because it comes out of an aluminum can.
I've had guys scoff at their friends and call it a foo-foo drink or whatever they say.
They make
but
fun
then
of
they
this,
order
though,
a Tito's and soda, and it's just like, okay, strong drink, fragile masculinity. Please don't make fun of the
beverages. And a Michelob Ultra, like, but we don't care about
Shoot, depending on the wine cooler, right? Do you remember Bartles and James?
Bartles and James.
those were stronger than beers, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They were.
What did you bring with you on Halloween?
Bartles and James.
You brought one. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Diet Tab.
No. He came as
a Diet Tab.
Oh yeah, we have some Tab downstairs.
We do have Tab.
Oh, that's from, because of me. I got some.
Wait, they still make Tab? I didn't know they still make Tab. Wow.
Would you like one?
I'll pass. But
I'll have a Tab.
I appreciate the offer.
But I think there's still Tab cans in my backyard.
I hit them.
I know.
Yeah.
He hid Tabs all over my house. So I'm still finding cans of Tab around my garden.
But I don't know. I mean, I think the biggest thing, like, that we've learned, was that the question?
Yeah.
What, like, just lessons learned. You know, I mean, like, if you had to start all over, what would you do differently?
I mean, we would have called Danny way earlier. Tiki Diablo. But we would have called Tiki
Diablo. You called him before you guys opened, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
You called him before you opened.
Right, but I would have called him in from the beginning, from like the layout, the planning.
Oh, okay.
Like I would have asked him for help way earlier.
Yeah.
But as far as like, I mean, this is just the process. I don't know everything.
We learn from experience.
We learn something every week. Like Freddie is really fond of saying, like, dude, it just gets better every week. Like, the processes get better every week. Yeah. You know?
We're trying to make weekly improvements. And we got a pretty good staff, and we get along.
Yeah,
and
that's key.
And so we're always texting with a big group text. And, I mean, that, and on top of a drink quality, do we like this? So we do everything, you know. We make sure everybody's, you know, up to par with everything.
Our communication is
probably, we got good at that. Yeah,
we realize it's really important. You know, we're all, like, super open with each other and, like, always talking to each other, communicating and...
The one thing I would do different is make everybody like, okay, you all have to have a Gmail account and you all have to be on Facebook. Because like a lot of the younger kids that work for us, they don't use Facebook anymore. And half of them don't use email.
And what are the snaps and chats? I don't even understand. I don't know.
Right.
They're sending each other nudies on Snapchat.
I just can't.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think that's like the one thing I would do different too is like be like, look, you guys have to have this to work here. Because everything is through text, which confuses the crap out of me. But it works. You know?
It works, yeah.
Okay, yesterday I went through my phone, and because I was looking for a message from us, I was like, Freddie and Roy, Corey and two others, Bernardo and Benny and three others, like, Roy and eight others, Roy and seven others, Roy and six others. Text is like full of group messages.
Yeah.
I get those too. I mean, not with anybody that I work with. Sometimes I just get thrown into this group text that I don't know who half these people are.
Yeah.
And if I don't have their number, they probably don't have mine. So when I'm replying, they probably don't know who I am.
The
biggest thing I learned was not to sell off the last mugs. Like, so pretty much nobody who works here has our original TV Club mugs.
Except for me.
Corey has hers, I like Mandela myself.
I have the coconut?
The coconut.
It's like a bluish color or something, right?
Uh-huh.
That's like
the
different
color. Coconut's brown, but
the tiki.
The tiki is
bluish.
Like teal.
So I think I have the coconut and I think I have the tiki, but that was before.
Well, that's the only. That's so the we only have. We did those.
Do you have anything right now?
No.
I sold Roy's right off the shelf. Well, that was the whole point. It was right. His last pair.
So I didn't even get
off the shelf.
I don't have a
sip
for myself.
Wow.
We had them up. Like, we had them up on one of the shelves, and somebody, Gabby,
I got on a ladder.
And she sold the set. So we don't even have a set in here.
So tell me about the mugs up here. Is this your collection, or are these customers' mugs?
This is yours, mostly mine. Some of the stuff has gotten added. Like, people have brought us, like, some of these mugs have been brought in by customers, like, as a gift.
That's nice.
Eventually, we'd like to have, like, customers, you know, that have their own mugs, like, you know, like at,
like at Don's.
Tiki
Tea.
We just don't have the space.
Well, you know, maybe you can put a cabinet like at Don's. What they did is they have that locking cabinet. And when it's really just the regulars that use those, right? So when they come in and they want a drink out of their mug, the bartender walks over and just gets their mug out of the cabinet.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we'd like to do at some point.
The mug club, right?
And it's nice that we actually have enough regulars that we can kind of start doing that now, you know? But yeah, all this stuff is like just stuff that I've collected. Like, I mean, even like the decor, like the Wickos and stuff, stuff we've been buying for years.
Right.
When we first opened and I moved all this stuff out of our house in LA down here, our housekeeper, like, came in and was like, asked my wife, she's like, are you and Roy getting a divorce? It's like, all this crap was gone. The place is empty. She's like, are you guys getting divorced?
Wow.
There's nothing left in here. She's like, no, we're opening a bar. But yeah. Yeah, so we had the Tiki Farm mugs, but they upped their minimums.
Right,
and
right.
We're just like, ah, man, like, I think we'd rather at this point do something with Danny and have, like, something, like, you know, because, like, with them, like, they're awesome, but they were, like, they're quick turnaround mugs that, you know, there's a lot of people that have those mugs. So we kind of want to do something with Danny where it's, like, something very special and something very particular to this bar.
Yeah, you know, no diss to Tiki Farm because...
No, not at all.
Serve a purpose for that mug that you can use every day and serve all your drinks from. Mm-hmm. But then you get a mug from Danny, and it's a little bit more special, right? It's handcrafted. It's made in the United States, right? It's not made overseas. And so it's a little bit more of an art piece and becomes a little more cherished.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, like, we want something that we can really identify with the bar, you know? And so, like, this came from Tiki Diablo. This came from Tiki Co., that, you know, yeah, like you said, right. Cherish. Like, I want to see, like, you know, I want to see a Tiki Co. mug on Ooga Booga going,
oh, yeah,
know, like, and people going, like, oh, this is, oh, man, you got to get this one. You got to find this
Yeah,
one.
You want to see it being scalped on eBay for, like, three times the cost.
Not that, though.
But no, that's what
well, I mean, like, there's a cachet to that, you know, because, you know, I just did my podcast mugs, right? And they're all on eBay for, like, three times the cost.
Yeah.
You know? They're, those people that are flipping them are making more money than all of us combined. They're making exactly. more money than me, my sponsor, and everybody else who was involved, Antique Diablo.
Yeah.
Right? So, but, you know, it's kind of cool that there's that kind of demand for it, right? Yeah. That people want it that much that they're willing to pay for it. People are paying.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd be one of the... I mean, that's the one thing. I was joking earlier because we got a Tandawai mug today. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is the coolest part about owning a tiki bar is, like, the free crap that you get, you know, like, the free stuff. And I wanted those mugs so badly when I saw them, and I was like, man, like, I can't buy.
Yeah, I know.
Running the bar has, like, sapped my finances, so I'm like, I can't buy all the stuff that I used to love to buy, which is, like, mugs and shirts and stuff like that, you know? So now, occasionally, we get some for free. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Feel free to send mugs to Tiki Co. 1919 K Street. Bakersfield, California.
Or bring our parrots back if you have one.
Oh, yeah. And if you've stolen some of our parrot mugs,
oh, does that happen?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fine. Frequently. It was kind of a funny thing. We realized one day that, like, our parrot flock had dwindled so badly, and it was kind of a joke. We actually got a couple back.
We weren't IDing at the time. We're too nice.
Yeah, right. Now we take an ID. We trade an ID for the tiki mugs when we...
Well, you know what some of the other bars do is when they serve you a drink, or actually when they take your order, they ask if you want that in the mug. And if you say no, you get the drink in a glass. And if you say yes, they charge you for the mug and serve it in a mug.
Mm. Although
that way, like, if it walks out, they've already paid for it.
And they charge you for the mug, and then you can...
They charge for the mug ahead of time. But you just ask them, would you like that in a mug? And if they say no, just put it in a glass. Put the drink in a glass.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we'd actually thought about that, but it was Sonia that argued against that. She was like, I like seeing people with the mugs in the bar, like, whether or not they're buying. They're not always necessarily going to buy them.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
You
know, and it's like, and that's
media,
one of the few things... You know, the parrot mug, and then, you know, the coconut for the painkiller. You know, one of the few things we actually serve, you know, the shark mug. You know, that we actually serve in a mug. I like seeing that. You know, I got so many.
It does look
bars.
Cool when you see, like, a bar full of mugs.
Yeah, you know, like, we try to bring in different mugs for different things. Like, I know it's totally not traditional, but we serve our Navy Grog in the big Moai heads. And it's like, I love it when I see people with, like, the, you know, sharks and the moais. And the, you know, it looks cool. You know, it makes me want to stick around.
Yeah.
People are cool with, like, giving the ID, though, because the Basque restaurants take one for their copper mugs anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah.
Or for the Moscow Mules.
Yeah, Moscow Mules. Yeah.
They do real copper, not the cheap ones, but it's...
Not like a plated
No, not
cup.
The in the metal plate. They're all copper, yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually lost the mug and I had to pay $30.
Oh, wow.
It was my fault. I just left it on the counter instead of giving it back. And I
so you didn't lose it. Someone stole it.
Someone stole it. I didn't take it, yeah.
You just didn't take very good care of it.
I didn't take good care of it because I blacked out on those Moscow mules, which they put mostly vodka and just a, take your hand and go, there's a ginger beer.
A little eye drop.
Yeah. It's great. I love it.
The Salt Bay of ginger beer.
The Salt Bay. I love that you know who that guy is. Yeah.
I didn't until one of our customers came dressed as like him for Halloween. I'm like, the hell are you supposed to be? He's like Salt Bay. I'm
oh, like, he's got like 2 million followers or something on Instagram.
He just opened up a... Super we had a expensive place in New York.
I just want to say that we had so many really good costumes this last Halloween, and then he showed up in his Salt Bay outfit,
Julian,
which was
right?
Julian with glasses and a white T-shirt on, and he won the costume contest again.
Did he win again?
Yes.
Well, that just tells you like how popular that guy is, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, I don't know where he. I know he has a restaurant in Dubai and where else? Somewhere in Europe,
right?
Is he French or something?
He can't speak
English. He can't speak English at all.
No. There was a video that he posted on his, I think it was his Instagram, and my wife was like, "Oh, did you see that video?" And she was all excited, and I said, "No. I mean, like, he posts videos a lot, right?" Then I look and I'm like, "Yeah, so he's doing his thing." She's like, "No, look who he's serving." And it was like Justin Timberlake,
like Leonardo DiCaprio.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio. That's who it was.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio came here last week. No big deal.
It's how he, it's how he drops the salt or the on the meat, right?
I think
he runs it off his elbow.
I think I'm too old for this. I didn't get it. I'm like, I don't care.
Well, we have a drink called the Manaahi Bowl, right? So we'll do that once in a while. So, and we sprinkle the cinnamon in the fire, but once in a while, like,
oh, I saw the photo. Saw a photo of you doing that with the fire. Yeah,
but I wasn't doing the salt bay, but like once in a while I'll throw that.
Dude, you'll light your arm on fire because.
I've seen it. Yeah, Gabby's a queen of that. Like, she sets off the alarm almost every time that one.
The fire alarm goes off. My arm hairs are completely.
I only done that a few times.
Okay, can I make a request to have do that? I mean, I want a photo.
Let's
get a photo off.
Oh yeah, that's you.
It's kind of like, but it's bittersweet. So it's like you guys got great fire and awesome photo ops, but also now drink your cinnamon challenge.
Oh, I
Because a lot of cinnamon.
Do you know the cinnamon challenge, Roy?
Yes, I am not that old.
Well, I have two teenagers, so that's how I know all
this
stuff.
You're up on the stuff.
For now.
What's the cinnamon challenge?
I don't know the cinnamon challenge.
You don't do that.
Yeah, do you know the Tide Pod challenge?
Yes, I'm also aware of kids doing that. God. Although that's actually a pretty good idea for a cocktail.
Do you ever watch, do you know Hot Ones? Do you watch Hot Ones?
Yeah, the Hot Wings challenge. I do like that. Oh yeah, I love that.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. I watch that.
Oh,
I've done that one time in my life.
Gabby doesn't know.
No, I don't know.
No, I don't know. Is this a show?
So it's on YouTube.
Okay.
So search for Hot Ones. The channel is called First We Feast. And Hot Ones is one of the programs on that channel. And what this guy does, his name is Sean Evans, he interviews celebrities while they eat hot wings. And they start from the mildest wing to the hottest
one. I have seen that.
Right? And it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And so it's really cool to see how they react to it. Right?
They lose concentration. They lose,
Okay, it's really entertaining.
I did a hot wing challenge about 10 years ago, and it was the most horrific thing because I love spicy food, and so it just turned out. But I had it all over my hands, my whole face was on fire, and I started to cry. And without even thinking twice, I wiped my eye to get rid of my tear. And I even thought I was prepared. I went to the donut shop and got some milk cartons first to drink.
Right.
It just did not help. It was excruciating, mind-numbing pain, and it ruins your whole weekend. I'll say that.
You got to watch the show, then you would find it.
It's funny, yeah.
Yeah, really entertaining because, like, TJ Miller, for example.
Oh, that was the one I saw.
He had a water bottle, and he just opened the water bottle, and he squeezed it and shot himself in the face with his cold water.
He was just squeezing it.
It's hilarious.
Didn't someone start with the hot first?
And he won, right? That's the episode.
No. The one who started with the hot first was Eddie Wong.
Yeah, Eddie Wong's so funny. Yeah.
That's the one I watched.
That's the one.
You know what that reminded me of? We didn't talk about the Kingston Michelada. It's a cool drink that we have that's kind of different.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do a Michelada with Red Stripe, Jamaican rum. We have a Jamaican hot sauce that
we
use.
Caribbean jerk sauce.
Yucateca.
Caribbean jerk, and then same thing with the seasoning.
El Yucateca should sponsor inside the Desert Oasis Tiki Room as well.
Right.
We have a local podcast that is heavily sponsored by El Yucateca, and that they're the ones that got us to use the Jamaican jerk sauce.
But it's really good. It's just crazy.
It is actually
hot.
Really good.
Scotch bonnet. It's super spicy, but it's really good. Yeah, we do a Kingston michelada with that, and it's wildly popular.
With the Caribbean jerk spices on the salt rim, with a mix of the salt.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Micheladas are crazy popular here. Are they big in Corona, too? Or,
Was that a diss? Come on.
No, no. I mean,
nothing in Corona.
It comes out of the tap water in Corona. What are you talking about?
I just have micheladas in the tap,
Do you know why Corona is called Corona?
I can...
It's Spanish for the word crown.
Crown, yeah.
And about 100 years ago, there used to be an auto race there every year, which today is Grand Avenue. It's a circle. And so they named the city after that street. They call it the Crown City, Corona. And Hugh Hauser did an episode on it. He just thought it was so great that he ended up in the same spot where he started like 30 minutes later, right? That was the racetrack.
Isn't that interesting?
Right? It's amazing,
It's amazing!
Right? It's Grand Avenue there today. And when I first built my home bar, I was trying to find a way to incorporate the name Corona, but I just couldn't do it without having a vision of the Corona beer. So I abandoned that.
So it'd be difficult.
We've done some Bakersfield drinks, like the Bakersfield.
We do, yeah.
The Bakersfield
River Water
Smog Cutter.
Bakersfield Smog Cutter.
Is that what it was?
Do you have a Basque drink?
Well, we didn't have the Tecon Punch.
Other than the Tecon Punch?
You know, the other one that was on the original menu, it was kind of the same thing as the Tecon Punch. It wasn't well received because of the strong flavors. It had like coffee liqueur, it had absinthe in it, and people kind of...
Yeah.
So yeah, we used to have one called the Surf Rider, and that was like kind
of named after. Story. Name after Rohit.
So there was a tiki bar here. Well, a Polynesian themed bar here in the
hotel,
60s.
Right?
Hotel.
Yeah, it was called the Wonder Lodge. And
Wonder Lodge, okay.
Yeah, and they had the Surf Rider room, which was their tiki bar.
Right?
It was not out of Union.
Yeah.
Yeah, if any listeners out there have any memorabilia, man. I'll pay top dollar for it. We can't find anything from this place. It was cool. It was, when we first started doing this, we went out to Oceanic Arts. And the guys out there actually, you know, they have all those menus.
Yeah.
They had a Surf Rider room menu, man. They were chopping it up with us and talking about, like, they remembered it.
You know what? If they still have that menu, you should just get color copies of it. So you can put it in a frame or something.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that. Because, like, it's a cool menu, you know?
It's a great
piece of Bakersfield history, you know?
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, before we wrap up, tell us about the future of TikiCo.
Oh, yeah.
It's a question I answer
daily.
Hey, daily.
Daily. And we've been saying this since we opened, that we do have the foundation bar here is actually in the basement. And
it's a true basement. It's underground.
Yeah. And so we've been telling people since we opened this portion of it that we're going to open the bottom in 3 months. That's been going on for like...
That was last summer.
Yeah, that was like a year and a half ago. And we are finally getting closer to actually opening. We've finally done some of the... We had to do some things like please the health department, please the city down there.
Yeah.
And we finally got some of those out of the way. And we're hoping to have Tiki Diablo come back and build out the...
He sent me a text last week, and he said, hey, when are you going to record with those guys? And I said, it'll be on Monday. And he said, let me hitch a ride with you. I got to do some measurements. So I mean, I knew from before, right, because we had talked about that before, but my first thought was, cool, it's finally happening.
Yeah, and it is actually happening. I mean, we are still... I mean, the number one theme behind this bar is, like, struggle. You know, we didn't want any investors. We didn't want anybody else's money. We wanted complete control. You know, like, if there was an investor in this bar...
There's a value to that.
Well, you know, if there was an investor in this bar, like, we wouldn't be able to serve the drinks we serve. They'd be like, there's no way you could put a rum that costs that much in a mini drink. Like, we just won't let you do that. So, like, we've been on our own for a long time, and you know, frankly, we're just getting more loans to open the bottom.
Yeah,
but it's happening, and we're hoping by the time it gets hot, or like at least by like midsummer, it'll be done, and we can have people down there to drink and hang out, and hopefully have like a custom new mug that Danny hopefully will design for us.
Once it's done and you're ready to go, send me a note and let's do an event with a podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
We'll bring the Tiki people out and...
Oh, yeah. I've already promised Jono. I'm like, hey, you guys are going to be the first. We'll do, like, a opening just for you guys.
There you go.
Because, I mean, that actually, that helped us a lot. When you guys came down here and kind of put us to the test, you know, we knew, like, all right, this is... These are now, people who are very serious about this.
And I also hang out with the Voodoo Disciples.
Yes.
Chris Cervantes is also in the Voodoo Disciples. He's the guy who owns Steadfast Pomade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, another one of those guys, he owns Frogtown Brewery. So if you've ever been there, that's a great bar. Those guys, same thing. They're cocktail aficionados. They'll get on a plane to check out a new bar anywhere in the country. And so they also came in here and spoke nothing but positive things.
Yeah,
right. And we hang out with them at Tiki T. So
we had a visit from those guys not all that long ago. God, maybe it was
about 6 months ago.
Yeah, my brain doesn't work better.
Maybe longer. <Right. laughs> But they were here all night.
Yeah, we love seeing those guys here. And like, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm drinking out of my steadfast
mug right now.
I was super, super psyched to get this.
So shout out to the Voodoo Disciples and shout out to Steadfast Pomade. Thanks for supporting Tiki Co.
Yeah, thank you guys. Also, I have Steadfast in my hair right now.
Yeah, me too. Best pomade in the world.
Yes,
yeah, and check out the Tandawai guys. They're all rubbing their hair saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. Well, thank you again for opening the doors to Tiki Co. and allowing the podcast to come in and hang out with you guys and have some of your drinks.
Thank you so much, man.
I really appreciate this. Yep. I appreciate it so much. And if anybody wants to come down and check out the bar, have some of the drinks, let's throw out the address.
It's 1919 K Street, Bakersfield, California, 93301. And we're at tiki-ko.com on the internet and Tiki Co. Bakersfield on Instagram and Facebook.
Close on Mondays.
We have specific hours.
Look up our hours.
That's right. Close on Mondays.
We got funky hours. So.
Only the Desert Oasis Room podcast gets to come on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So thanks again, you guys. I appreciate everything. Last toast here.
To Roy and Sonia, too, thank you for sacrificing and making people go happen. Right. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you guys very much. I love all you bartenders. Thank you guys for being here and making me look smarter.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Freddie. thank you, Corey. Thank you, Gabby.
I was going to say.
I already forgot the other name.
Good. Okay. You said it burned in your brain.
Daphne.
Yeah. Daphne. See, Daphne ends in an E. It doesn't end in a Y.
That's
so
true.
That's why we had to let her go.
Daphne. Oh. Sorry.
Hi, Daphne. I love you.
And for our listeners out there, if you have any questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout-out, to the Tiki Co. crew, check us out on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. And we also have a group page on Facebook, Inside the Desert Oasis Room. Stop by there. If you're not part of the group already, click the join button. Everybody gets accepted. And you post your questions and comments, or if you even have a request for any other people that you want to see on the show, post it up and we'll try to get them on. And again, special thanks to Tiki Co. Cheers and aloha.
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 Aloha. Aloha.